I love the bodies of babies and young children. It amazes me how they enter the world with everything they need in order to survive. Healthy lungs that breathe and support their strong voices, and digestive systems that take in food and expel what isn't needed. And yet these bodies are vulnerable, they're weak. Most newborns can't hold up their own heads. But each day, these vulnerable little bodies grow and get stronger and stronger until within weeks they can hold up their own heads, they can smile, and within months they're rolling over, crawling, and then standing up. The human body is truly remarkable. And we delight in these little bodies. We see babies and we hold babies, and it doesn't matter whose baby it is. It doesn't have to be my baby, but I get to nestle and nuzzle and tickle and kiss and hug these little bodies. And, you know, we tolerate the messy bodily functions of these little people, even smiling or laughing at the burps and other noises which escape these little bodies. We kiss their toes and breathe in the lovely baby smell of them. We delight in and celebrate these little bodies of all the little babies that are part of our congregation. Isaac, Diago, Luke, Theo, Abram, Abigail, and Brennan, and the other babies that are on their way. And not only do we take delight in the bodies of babies, but they take delight in their own bodies. I remember when each of our children around 4 months old or so was mesmerized by their own hands, gazing at them in wonder. When have we last gazed at our hands in wonder? Or when babies discover their voices and the power that gives them? Or the delight toddlers take in running around naked, free and unconfined? Or the delight they take in recognizing their own reflection in the mirror? When babies look in the mirror, they see reflected back someone who is delighted to see them, someone that they're really delighted to see, and who takes delight in them. Now, it doesn't take long for us to stop kissing toes and breathing in the bodily smells of other people. Bodily functions and noises are soon confined to the bathroom. Rather than being celebrated and applauded, they become sources of embarrassment and shame. We very soon stop caressing and tickling and nuzzling other people's bodies. And at a certain age, we discourage running around naked. For the most part, I think that's appropriate. But I think there's a loss that comes when we stop celebrating and taking delight in the beauty of our bodies. How sad that we stop being delighted in the reflection that we see in the mirror when we look in the mirror. How unfortunate that we're no longer in touch with God's delight in our physical bodies as reflections of God's own image. As human beings, we are created in God's image as a complicated mix of body and soul. We know that we are much more than our physical bodies, that our souls will outlive these physical bodies that house them here on this earth. We're most keenly aware of this when a loved one dies. We reassure ourselves that their souls are with God, that their bodies were but a shell that is left. They are more than their physical body. And we know that those we meet and relate to each and every day are more than their physical bodies. We know this. And yet it is in our physical bodies that we live in this world. Our bodies are crucial to our experience of life, our ability to function in the world, our ability to relate to one another, to give and receive love, to talk and laugh and run and see the beauty around us. Without our bodies, we'd be disembodied spirits floating around. How would I recognize you if you didn't have your body? The pain of death is that on a physical, relational level, we keenly miss those bodies of our loved ones, which can no longer hug us, talk with us, eat with us. In and through our bodies, we give and receive love and affection. We have some biblical clues as to the importance of our bodies with two creation accounts. Genesis 1, which you heard read, tells us that we were made in the image of God, male and female. We were made in God's image. And Genesis 2 gives an account of how we were lovingly shaped and formed from the dust of the earth by a creator who then breathed life into us. Psalm 139 affirms this image of being lovingly created. You knit me together in my mother's womb. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. This is the image of God that God intends for us to see every time we look in the mirror. What does it mean, though, to have been created with physical bodies in the image of God? We know that God sees and hears and is present with us, and we also know that God doesn't look like us. God doesn't necessarily have hands and feet and a body. But God created us with physical bodies. We were created as gendered people, as sexual beings, male and female. All that we perceive and experience is through our sexual and gendered bodies, and those bodies are made in the image of God. I can't relate to you in any other way than as a gendered female, and that shapes how I see the world, and it shapes how you interact with me. All of us are caught up in our own ideas of what it means to be male and female and how we should relate to each other. We have familial and societal messages churning around inside of us. We have the biblical messages about what it means to be male and female. And we have messages that we've grown up with in the church about what it means to be male and female. These messages are complex, and sorting them out takes no small degree of wisdom and care. We are more than our bodies, and our bodies matter. Rob Bell, in his book Sex God, addresses this complexity in a chapter entitled Angels and Animals. Bell is really addressing the Greek idea of the separation of the body and soul, the physical from the spiritual. Bell says that if we were just bodies, if we were just physical, we would be like animals, unable to think and reason, only submitting to the instincts of our bodies for food and procreation. I couldn't help myself. A phrase used in relation to food and sex feeds into this idea that our physical bodies control our actions and decision-making, that these physical drives are so strong that they cannot be controlled. But if we were just angels, then there would be no temptation in the realm of our physical sexual lives. If we were angels, we'd have no bodies, and we wouldn't experience any real temptations. But that doesn't reflect the reality of our lives, nor does it reflect who we are as God's creation. We are neither animals nor angels. We are human beings, created in the image of God, created with bodies and souls in which to live and reason. The voices that would have us doubt that we were made in the image of God confront us every day. Commercials, billboards, magazines, TV continually bombard us with messages and images that tell us what needs to be fixed in order to be more beautiful, more desirable, more popular, more sexy, a better lover, more successful. We should be buying products to alter our appearance, starting diets to lose those extra pounds, buying exercise equipment to get our bodies into just the right shape. And the right shape is determined by the images we see. For women, and I would say these images don't actually reflect the models who are portraying these images. They've all been altered and airbrushed. For women, the messages are about bigger breasts. So if you don't have enough, you can go buy padded bras that will lift and give you just the right cleavage to show off with just that right low-cut top. And if that isn't enough, I was in the store the other week and noticed that you can buy padding to make your butt curvier. Who knew? It just astounds me. And then there's the issue of hair. You really only want hair on your head. And, you know, you need to buy just the right product to have the right sheen and bounce and color and curl. And if you swing your hair in just the right way, you'll be desirable for all those handsome men. And those handsome men, like, the messages for men are no less insidious and destructive. Bodies, male bodies need to be firm and muscular, broad shoulders, narrow hips, abs like a washboard, every muscle clearly defined. And size. Size matters if you pay attention to the advertisements in terms of how you'll be able to pleasure a woman. For all of us, if we buy just the right product, we'll be attractive to the opposite gender. These advertisements play into our feelings of inadequacy, our doubts that we are good enough, smart enough, attractive enough, and lovable enough. The messages from our culture tell us every moment of every day that on our own we are not worthy. When we look in the mirror, we see reflected back at us complexions that are blemished and bodies that aren't the right size or shape. We see reflected back at us all the ways in which we are inadequate and unlovable. In her book, Honoring the Body, Stephanie Paulsell tells a story about a father who taught his teenage daughter how to wash her face. I thought I could do this story. Her face was so marked by acne that she had a hard time leaving the house. Seeing her distress, her father asked if he could help by teaching her how to bathe a new way. Leading her to the bathroom, he leaned over the sink and splashed water over his face, telling her, "On the first splash, say in the name of the Father, on the second, in the name of the Son, and on the third, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Then look up in the mirror and remember that you are a child of God, full of grace and beauty." Can you imagine the gift that that father gave to his daughter? With each bath, with each washing of the face, that act became a baptismal act in which she was marked and claimed as a child of God, made in the image of God. What would happen if every time we bathed, every time we washed our faces, it became a baptismal act in which we reminded ourselves that we are marked and claimed as children of God, made in the image of God? What difference might it make for us to splash water on our most despised or hated body parts in the name of God who created us, Christ who redeems us, and the Spirit who sustains us? Here in this place, this sanctuary from the world, we need to hear that we are created in the image of God, and the image of God includes our bodies, and that image was deemed by God to be good. Here in this place, the good news is that God made us, knows us intimately, loves us fiercely, and God delights in us and our bodies, just as we delight in the bodies of the babies around us. Here in this place, we get the whole picture of God's varied and beautiful creation. Look around you. See the beauty of God's creation. We come in varying sizes, shapes, and abilities. And each of us, in all our beauty and imperfections, reflects and radiates the image of God. Look around you and see the image of God. Our bodies matter so much that God chose to become flesh and dwell among us in the human form of Jesus. Our bodies matter so much that Jesus, after experiencing a bodily death, experienced a bodily resurrection. Our bodies matter so much that they also will experience a bodily resurrection in some form. The good news is that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, knit together with care in our mother's wombs. The good news is that God declared creation good, and that includes us and our bodies. The good news is that because of the incarnation, it somehow matters that we have physical bodies and that our bodies will be redeemed. And so it matters how we care for our bodies, how we view our bodies, how we honor our bodies and the bodies of those around us. When we look in the mirror, may we see reflected back to us not all of our inadequacies and shortcomings, but may we see the reflection of God. May we look in the mirror not with eyes of hatred and self-loathing, but with eyes of compassion and self-love. This morning, we want to gather around the table of our Lord as embodied people, the body of Christ. We invite you to enter into this ritual as an affirmation of the image of God in you. You're invited to participate in this ritual as a way of claiming your body as a reflection of the goodness of being created in God's image. Bring your brokenness to the table and let Christ meet you here. We bring ourselves, our wounds, our feelings of inadequacy, the ways in which we have not let the goodness of being created in God's image reflect in our lives. We confess the ways in which we have not honored our own bodies as God's good creation, and the ways in which we have not honored the bodies of those around us as God's good creation. We place all of this at the table of our forgiving Lord, inviting Christ into our brokenness, inviting Christ to receive us, feed us, and transform us into wholeness. At this table, we are remembered into the body of Christ. Let us pray. O God, with each of our breakings, you break, and with each of our woundings, your own wounds grow deeper. Yet you hold the pieces together till we learn to make the new connections, and you guard each throbbing wound till we have had enough of pain. You remind us it is our delight you seek, not our suffering. And you tell us it is not the wounds that give us life, but the tending of them in each other. And you say it is not the breaking that makes us whole, but the mending of the pieces that brings us life anew. Amen.